Good morning to you. This is the voice of Pastor Ken Harger coming your way and glad to be able to share with you in another broadcast time together. You've tuned me in by the way of WDLP 93.1 building at 7 o'clock. And we stream this broadcast live by the way of WDLP.m. You tuned me in this morning by the way of Ionia, WIONI 1430 AM or 92.7 FM at 8 o'clock, and in the lower area, the same thing at 8 o'clock at 100.3 FM, and I welcome you. Others have tuned me in by the way of Greenville, WGLM 106.3 FM at 9 o'clock, and we're now streaming both of these broadcasts live by the way of the web. Others have tuned in by the way of internet radio at earsradio.com at 10. I welcome you. Those that's listening by the way of my website, and my website is pastorkenharger.com. Move your mouse over to where it says messages from the Lighthouse and current media will spot up on it. And then you click current media, and that takes you to where the message is this morning. And I'll just be so glad to have you tune us in, and we're so pleased to do that. As also, I need to say thank you to those that take care of the financial cost of the broadcast. So a big thank you to Doug and Noreen Lane. They are from the Sheridan area. To Bill and Judy Hammond. They are from the building area. To Gloria Spencer, in memory and honor of her husband, Spence. That was his nickname, and she's from the Orleans area. To Gay London, in memory and honor of her husband, Dave, and she's also from the Greenville area. And to Marie Rivard, in memory and honor of her husband, Fran, from Dayton, Tennessee. I thank each one for their financial support. I always like to give an invitation to attend Shiloh Community Church, and at Shiloh, Saturday evening it starts at 6:30, Sunday morning at 9 o'clock, and then at 10:45 we have a contemporary service. And at a campus that we have in Greenville, at the old Calvary Baptist Church at the corner of Grove and Luray, that service begins at 11 o'clock. Give you an invitation to attend any one of those services you so desire. And I trust that you'll keep us in prayer because we're looking for our new senior pastor, and we're just kind of doing the best we can with the idea of working and searching to find out who that one is, and we're just trusting God that he's going to lead us and direct us to our next senior pastor. We do have two pastors at this time, and they are doing a good job, and we appreciate them very much. Well, that takes care of all I need to take care of for that part of our time together. Now we get down to the business at hand, so to speak. Our message this morning, the church that Jesus is building on planet Earth, is to add structure to our heart, to our life, and at the same time, give us a way to fulfill the purpose of our life as we are here on planet Earth. And we'll address that in just a few moments. But you know, one of the things we've already looked at when we think about the church, that Jesus is the foundation, and we're built on a solid foundation. Remember one day Jesus said that a foolish man builds his house on the sand, but a wise man builds his house on the rock, the solid foundation. And when the storms of life come, the house on the sand falls, but the one built on the rock stands forever. And Jesus is our rock, and we are built upon him. And Jesus said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church that he is building. So we're looking forward to God's special blessing in our life as we look at the message this morning, how this faith in the Lord Jesus Christ adds dimension to your life and structure to your life and gives you the opportunity to accomplish the things that God would have you to accomplish while you're here on planet Earth. We'll listen to a song, and then I'll be right back. And this song is telling us Jesus is that rock, and here we go.
Jesus Christ, solid rock, on him I firmly stand. Jesus Christ, solid rock, all else is sinking sand. We're in the midnight hour, the lamp is growing dim, and so we sing unto the world, won't you come and try him? Jesus Christ, solid rock, Jesus Christ, solid rock. Jesus Christ said he'd come to to take his bride away. Jesus Christ said he'd come, it may be night or day. It's not a fairy tale, and it's not fantasy. It's written in the Word of God for all the world to see. Jesus Christ, solid rock. Jesus Christ, solid rock. Said he'd come to take his bride away. Jesus Christ said he'd come, it may be night or day. It's not a fairy tale, and it's not fantasy. It's written in the Word of God for all the world to see. Jesus Christ, solid rock. Jesus Christ,
Jesus Christ.
Solid rock, solid rock, solid rock, solid rock.
I love the way that builds it up. Solid rock, solid rock. This one, Jesus, is our solid rock. Our foundation is secure. And we're living in a day and age when there's not too much security around us. Things are ever-changing every day, and our life changes every now and then, and we realize that we're living in a changing world. But Jesus Christ, the solid rock, is a foundation that endures forever. Going to go to prayer once again, and we're going to remember all those of you, the listening audience. You're my audience this morning. You're the reason I'm over here at the lighthouse, and it's kind of a cloudy day. There's a few fishermen out fishing. It's a little bit cooler. The humidity's kind of disappeared, and so it makes it a nice morning as I come over here today to share the message. And we're looking forward to sharing what God has in our hearts, has laid on my heart to share this morning. Well, to do that, let's go to Him in prayer. Dear Father, once again, I come to you, and I come, Father, in behalf of the listening audience. I ask your special blessing to each person that has me tuned in this morning. Wherever they're listening from, I pray that they might sense the love and the care that you have for each one of them. And Father, another week has gone by, and for some of the listening audience, this week was a very good week. This week was a very blessed week. To others, Father, there's been discouragement, there's been death, or whatever has taken place that's made this not be quite such a good week. And so we ask your hand of blessing to be upon the listening audience this morning. Whatever it is that they stand in need of, Father, I pray that they may realize that you tell us that we can unload upon you all of our care, all of our concern, all of our anxiety, because you do care for each one of us. And that's a beautiful thing when we think the God of the universe, the God of creation, the God of redemption, cares for each one of us in such a special way. So I pray this morning for the listening audience, you meet your every need, whether it's financial, spiritual, physical, emotionally, family, whatever it might be, Father, I pray you'd meet their needs and bless the message this morning. I pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. You know, when it comes down to you and I and trying to figure out what's our life supposed to be accomplishing down here on planet Earth, I'm so glad that when Jesus talks about building his church, there's a way that he tells us things that he knows that we need. And, you know, I've always liked it when there's just one little Bible verse, and it gives you so much information in just a matter of few words. And there's a Bible verse that I've always liked from the book of Micah in the Old Testament, chapter 6 and verse 8. You mortals, that's you and I, you humans, he could be saying, The Lord has told you what is good, and this is what the Lord requires from you. Notice now, it's that which is good, and this is what the Lord requires from you: to do what is right, to love mercy, and to live humbly with your God. God says, I've told you what I require in your relationship with other people. Do what is right. Love mercy. And then with a relationship with God, to live humbly with your God. Let God be God in your life and you be who you are. And that brings us to a humble attitude to realize what a privilege we have to share with this great and mighty God. You know, I like also sometimes I like to look at the verse in what is called the Message. That's a paraphrase of the Bible. But this same verse reads like this: but he's already made it plain how to live, what to do, what God is looking for in men and women. It is quite simple. Do what is fair. Do what is just to your neighbor. Be compassionate and loyal in your love. And don't take yourself too seriously, but take God very seriously. I love that. I love the way that gives you a little bit of different thought on it, you know. So I guess it helps you to understand, hey, God's already let you know what he's looking for. Now, I got to remind you that this week, as we're thinking about our message, that Jesus is building a church, we should learn first that God has some requirements for your life and my life, but also that God wants to add structure to your life, and God wants to help you find that fulfilling purpose of your life that gives you the reason to get up in the morning and do the things that God intended for you to do. We'll be able to see the requirements that he has for our life in such a way that he's saying, you know, these requirements are not difficult. I just want to help you to do that. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning, is God's blessing upon our individual life to give us some structure. You know, I've done 4 funerals this week when I get done. I've got half of them done here at Wednesday morning, and I'm coming to you. I've got 2 more, one today and one Thursday. And, you know, some of them have been up in the years of the 80s. This year I've done a whole lot of funerals for those in the 80s, and I'm 84, so it always hits your age, you know. And so it gives you something extra to think about. But, you know, God is saying to you and I want you to understand that I'm going to add some dimension to your life that will never come in any other way. We're all going through the same journey, folks. We're born, we live, we die. And yet at the same time, God is saying, when you have a relationship with me, I can add some structure to your life, and I can show you what is your purpose of living, and that's going to help you tremendously. This is the same thing God was looking for in the nation of Israel. Way back in the Old Testament, the book of Deuteronomy chapter 10, God wrote something like the same words. Listen to what he says. God requires of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, to serve your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and keep the commandments of the Lord, his statutes also, keep them, which I command you today. And listen to what it says, for your good. See, God's not just trying to make you and I think that he's God. He already is God. He don't have to make us think he's God. He is. But he said, I got some things that I know can be a benefit to your life. It can add a dimension to your life that is tremendously missing. You know, the nation of Israel struggled to do what God required. They would do it for a little bit, and so God's reminding us in this universal church, to you and I that are a believer, anybody in the entire universe that is a believer in this one Jesus makes up that church as we've been talking about, and now he's telling us, I want you to understand that my word, the Bible, the word of God, plays an important part in your life. The Word of God is a big part of being who you are and who God requires you to be. And the difference needs to be found out within the Bible. And so we realize that the Word of God plays a tremendous important part, not only in the church that Jesus is building, but in your life and my life. We need to have our minds found on the things of God. You know, the simplest way, again, in a small verse, where God says, my ways are not your ways, your thoughts are not my thoughts. As the heaven is above the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Another little verse that I like simply says this, come, let us reason together. Though we may be miles apart, your sins are not scarlet. I'll make them as white as snow. God is telling us he wants to add to our life. And that's a good part about what this message about the Church of Jesus Christ is supposed to do in each one of our lives. Now, I've been talking about the universal church, but if the church in Shiloh or the church wherever you attend, if they want to do the things that God wants them to do, we have to look at what God is looking for within the church in the local community. Just a reminder that Jesus is the foundation. Just a reminder that Jesus is the cornerstone of his church. And all believers, all those that believe in Jesus Christ are built upon that foundation. And we become God's building. I love what Paul said in the book of 1 Corinthians when he says, as a skilled and experienced builder, I used the gift that God gave me to lay the foundation for that building. However, someone else is building on it. But each person must be careful how he builds upon that foundation, Jesus. After all, no one can lay any other foundation than that one which is already laid. And that is the foundation of Jesus Christ himself. He's our foundation. He's our starting place. He's where it all begins. And as a starting place, he said he wants to add some more structure to the place after Jesus resurrected from the grave. He gathered his disciples together at the Mount of Olives one day. And just before he returned to God the Father in heaven, we read these words. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. That's in the book of Matthew chapter 28. It's often called the Great Commission. That you and I in our day and age, and it was in that day and age as well, we were supposed to be spreading the news that Jesus Christ came, he was born, he lived, he died, he rose again, and he did all of that to pay the price for your sins and for my sins. I love it that in the book of Acts, God gives us how the people of that day were doing what God told them to do. After that, you know, when Jesus had said those things, all authority is given to me in heaven and earth, and you go and you make disciples. Teach people to believe in me, is what he was saying. Then we read in the book of Acts some interesting statements, and I just want to give you these so you can see what happened in that early year of the church. Those who accepted the message in Acts 2:41 were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to the number that day. Jesus told us we're like little stones being built up on the foundation. We're building a house that God is going to dwell within our lives. We're becoming the temple of God is what he says his church is becoming. And here, after Peter had preached, there was about 3,000 of them added to that foundation. That was in the book of Acts 2:41. Then it goes on to say, praising in God and enjoying the favor of the people, all the Lord, and the Lord added to the number daily those that were being saved. There was some being saved every day, and they were praising God for that, and they were doing what God wanted them to do. The church was growing. That church of Jesus Christ, that universal church that's just getting started, it goes on to say this, nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord, and they were added to their number. There's more being put up on the foundation in those early days within that church. And so the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly. And a large number of priests, the religious people, became obedient to the faith in Jesus Christ. That's in the book of Acts, chapter 9. So those early Christians, those early disciples, were busy doing what Jesus told them to do, to go everywhere and to proclaim that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Then the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace and was strengthened. Living in the fear of the Lord, encouraged by the Holy Spirit, it increased in numbers. That's what God wanted to happen. So the church was strengthened. It's not just that you got that there's strength in numbers, but it was being additions. The early church that Jesus was going to build was really going something special. But there's a word that gives us why it was doing it. It said the word of God was being spread abroad. They were telling the message of Jesus. They were telling the message that you can place your faith and trust in him. They were telling the message that I'm going to tell you for the rest of the time, that by placing your faith and trust in Jesus, he'll add structure to your life. He'll give you a reason for living spiritually, for your purpose of life that will add. And you and I, you know, I came across this little picture. It says, spread the word of God that can change a heart. And that's what was happening. These people were changing from being an unbeliever to being a believer. And they were being added to the church. And that was something that was very special. But may I say this? God is not willing that anyone should perish, but that everyone would come to repentance. But you know what? God's not only interested in everyone coming to repentance. He's interested that when you do place your faith and trust in this one Jesus, when you do become a part of his universal church, he wants some things to be added to your life. He's not just interested in the whole big numbers of people. He wants everyone, none to perish. But he also wants us to be growing in that thing that we call faith. And he wants us to see that there's been some new structure added to your life. And he wants us to know that now you've got a purpose. Though I love the idea when I read that in the book of Acts, that the message of God was going forward. And not only was the message of God going forward, but I love it that he reminds us that this message was being spread about, all about, and people were coming to know him. And that's what God wants for my life. That's what God wants for your life as we walk with him even in 2019. I love it that some of the religious people were coming to know this one Jesus and what he meant to their lives. And now in 2019, you and I need to be adding to the building of Jesus' church. We need to remind ourselves there was a time when we were outside of the loop, so to speak. Therefore, remember that you were once a Gentile in the flesh, who are called uncircumcised by what is called circumcision, made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being alienated from the commonwealth of Israel. You were strangers from the covenant of the promise, having no hope and without God in this world. That's where we start out. And we need to know that. We need to understand that. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. God has made a difference in your life. And that difference in your life is what I want to talk about as we continue on in our message in just a few moments. We've got to take a little break, listen to a song, give me a chance to catch my breath, so to speak. And this song is called All My Life. You know, it sometimes is so strange that we can go through so much of life. We're going through God's word without God. That's what he said. We were without God in this world. And we need God in our life. We need him to be a part of our life. And so we need the message that he has to offer to each one of us. So let's listen to this song. And then I'll come right back and share the rest of the message with you. And looking forward to letting us see what God wants to add to each one of our lives. And this message of song will help us to understand that we go seeking for him. Something was missing in our life. And that which is missing in our life when we don't know Jesus is the fact of God and his word within our life. Let's listen in. I'll be right back.
All my life, never knowing what I was reaching for, never could I find any reason for, always feeling somehow there must be more. Then there came a light, searching out my heart in the blackest night, touching me with love that I pieces I'd scattered there, holding them for me till my heart could bear. You gave me life, you made my spirit new. Now I give all my life to you.
Has been shared there in that song a couple different times. God is reminding us that when we come to know him, he adds a dimension to our life that would never be there otherwise. It's just like that. We need to come to this knowledge of him And in so doing, additions comes to our life as we become a part of the addition of the church that Jesus is building. Listen to what he goes on to say in that book of Ephesians after he just said, those of you that were once far off from God, now you've been made near to God by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But because of what Jesus did, and we became a Christian and we were added to the church, listen to what he says now. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but your fellow citizens with the saints and your members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles, the prophets, and Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into that holy temple in the Lord, to whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. What a beautiful thing he's teaching us. When you believed in Jesus, he said, you know what? You were built upon that foundation of the early believers and Jesus himself, the cornerstone. And you know what he's saying? There's a beautiful word there. He said, you're being fitted together. It's the blending of my life with the life of other believers. The blending of my life with the life of the Lord Jesus. The blending of my life with the people who lived in the Old Testament and the New Testament time. It's a blending of life with everyone who's ever believed in this one Jesus. And he's saying that's important because as this blending is taking place, you know what he says is happening? We're being built together. It's just as this whole building is coming together. We're being built together. And what's the purpose of all of this? Just that we might have a religion? No, no. But that we might become the dwelling place of God in the Spirit. That God wants to dwell in our lives. And he wants to dwell in the lives of all others that believe in him. And he wants us to be so fastened together that is such a blessing to our life. I love the way it says it. It says that the whole body is being fitted together. I think he's saying it's like a puzzle. It's all coming together into your life and my life, and it's all showing us that we're going to become, and we are here on planet Earth, the dwelling place of God by his Spirit. Now, if you hear a little noise in the backyard, my neighbors is adding to their home, and they're doing some yard work now, some bulldozing, so we got a little noise out there. I hope you're not being able to hear it, but this whole thing is all fitting together, he's saying, and you and I are growing into that temple. Now, as I mentioned just a few moments ago, he doesn't just want us to be growing in such a way that we're growing in numbers, but he wants it to be something else happened in your life, in my life. Jesus wants to add structure to your life. But even more than that, Jesus wants to add a fulfilling purpose to your life. That when you get to the end of your life, you will have accomplished something for the kingdom of God. You will have accomplished something that's going to bring about some reward in your life. The instruction is to our life to become the building on this solid foundation. And the purpose fulfilled is that we now have peace with God and we're connected to all other believers, past, present, and future. And God's saying as a result of that, you've become the dwelling place of God. That God's living in your heart. That God's living in your life. That God's living in your mind. The church of Jesus is built is not only what that whosoever well may come, and that's surely true, but it also he wants to add to your faith. Now he's going to give us some responsibility. I love the way it is said in 2 Peter 3:18, as we grow in knowledge of the Lord, the Savior, Jesus Christ, to him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. He wants us to grow in this one Jesus every single day of our life. And he told us before, and one other time when I shared this message with you, he said, like newborn babies, listen to what he says, like a newborn baby, crave the pure spiritual milk of the word, so that you may grow up unto your salvation. So now he's saying, I want you to do your part, You have to keep meditating and reading and learning from my word and allowing my word, as we've talked once before, to become a part of our life, our God's thinking to become a part of our thinking. The addition that Jesus wants to add to our life is because we're like a little child, but we're still a part of his church, and we're connected to all other believers in Jesus. And then he reminds us in the book of 2 Peter, as a result of that, what's going to happen in your life and mine? Listen to what he says. God's divine power has given to us. God's divine power has given to us everything we need for life and everything we need for godliness. God says, I working in your life and you sticking close to me and letting God's word go to work in your life, you've got everything you're going to need for life. And at the same time, you've got everything you're going to need to have some godliness. This power was given to us through the knowledge of the one who called us by his own glory and integrity. Through his glory and integrity, he has given us promises that are of the highest value. So God saying, now my word, I've given you promises in my word, and those promises are of the highest value. And these promises you will share in divine nature because you have escaped the corruption that his sinful desires causes in this world. He says, you've learned some things how to overcome some of the stuff. You're just not going along with everything that happens because you're human. Because of this now, he says, because God's done so much in your life, and he's given you this direction, and he's given you this structure for your life. Now he says something else. He reminds us, because of this, because of all God has done, make every effort. Now he says the responsibility is back on your shoulders. Make every effort to add integrity to your faith. Let it be genuine in your life. Let it be something that is not hypocritical. Let it be something that is so special to you. It's integrity, he says, that he wants added to your faith. And to integrity, he says, also add some knowledge. That you know what God is thinking. You know what God has said. You know because you have practiced that in your life. And to knowledge, add some self-control. He's saying, this is your job now. This isn't what God's going to do to us. And to self-control, add some endurance. Endurance. Add some stick-to-it-ness to your life. We need that stick-to-it-ness in our life. And to endurance, add godliness. And to godliness, add Christian affection. And to Christian affection, add love. Add love. I love it in the book of 1 Corinthians 13, which is a love chapter. A whole chapter is talking about what love is. And then it comes down to the bottom and it says this. Now these three will last forever, says God, faith, hope, and love. But he says the greatest of these is love. God wants us to know that what he wants us to have in our life, because we are connected to him, because we are connected to every other Christian, God said, I want you to have some love in your life. But he tells us there's a journey that we go on in order to have that happen. And he's just explained that journey step by step. He said, you got to make every effort. You got to give it your best. You got to give it your all to add integrity to your faith. That it's real. It's genuine. It's working in your life. And to integrity, add more knowledge. The more you know about Jesus, the more you want to know about him. The more you see how God's work, the word God's word is, the more you want to know about that. But then to knowledge, he says, add self-control. You know why I think he's saying add self-control? I think he's saying because you know what? It's so easy for Christian people to just go running off on their favorite hobby horse. the same thing over and over, and then they just kind of get caught in that avenue. God's saying, no, no, have some self-control in your life. Have you ever heard it be said? He was so heavenly minded, he was no earthly good. And then the reverse of that, he was so earthly minded, he was no heavenly good. God's saying, have some self-control within that. And this self-control is going to add to you endurance. When you're able to hold back, when you're able to trust God, when you're able to wait and see how things work out instead of taking charge yourself, it's going to add endurance to your life. And this endurance will add some godliness. You're going to have some godly characteristics now. You're getting to know him and getting to know his word. But then he goes on and uses two words, which I really like. Add to your godliness, Christian affection. Christians ought to be lovable people. God wants Christians to be lovable people. God don't want us walking around condemning others. Remember what it was said, because of the love of the Lord Jesus? He wasn't sent into this world to condemn one another. He wasn't sent to condemn you. I don't think God wants us to go around being the condemning person, the condemning all of these different things. He wants us to have some Christian affection. And he's not just saying for Christian people. He's saying, I want you to have some Christian affection, because this is what he says. You have love for the body of the believers. You'll have love for other believers. Then to Christian affection, add love. If you have these qualities and they are increasing, I love that. He's saying you're never going to arrive at a place where you finally got there. You got all the love you need to have. You got all the integrity you need to have. You got all the self-control. If these things are increasing in your life as you grow, he said it demonstrates that your knowledge about our Lord Jesus Christ is living, and not only is it living, it is productive. You're alive as a child of God, and you're useful as a child of God. When you allow these things that he's talking about to increase in your life and my life, where integrity increases, where this idea of all these other things that I mentioned, the integrity, your knowledge, your faith, your self-control, your godliness, your love, your Christian affection, as that is increasing, you will be a living vessel for the Lord Jesus. And your life will be productive. God's divine power has given us everything we need for life, folks, and everything for godliness. And this promise of all these divine promises he gives us helps us to escape the corruption in our world. One of my Bible verses that I like for this type of thinking: there is no temptation taking you but what is common to man. And God, well within the temptation, show you a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. That's what God is doing. He said, it's all up to you. Do your part, though. You got to do your part. And your part is to make every effort, and at every effort, to add to your faith these things that he says will show that your faith is alive and that you're meaning business with God. And when that shows up, you'll be productive. You will be producing some things that's going to count for eternity. Not only for God, but for somebody else's life and for your life. I found this little thing from my daily devotion on Facebook. It says, make effort, not an excuse. I like that. You and I are good today about making excuses why we don't do for God what we know we should do. We like making excuses. But God is saying, don't be making excuses. Instead, he's saying, make efforts. I got to go back and talk for a few minutes before we close about this thing called love. Love is a decision, and love is something that God wants to produce in your life. You know, when Jesus talks about building his church, he could remind us of this, that the reason why Jesus was here on planet Earth was because God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. Heaven, God the Father, gave the very best that heaven had to offer to show us that he loved us. I don't know what that word so means. God loved us so much. I know when I was a little kid, I did, and probably you did too, and probably you've seen children do it. How much do you love me? And then he'll do, I love you so much, and they spread their arms all the way back. You know, that's what God is saying to us. He gave his best. He gave heaven's best. And then it's reminded to us also that was true about the Lord Jesus. One of my favorite words of Jesus, statements he made, was greater love has no man than this, that one was willing to die for another. And then the Lord Jesus Christ went to that cross that we've come to call Calvary. And there, him who knew no sin was willing to become sin for you and I. That was out of love. God the Father, out of love, gave his Son, his one and only Son. He gave the best. The Lord Jesus is saying to you and I that he gave his best. He gave his life. And there can be no greater demonstration of love than you're willing to die for someone else. Love is a source of energy that God wants to use to move the church. His foundation has been laid. Now he's saying, I want you to be active by this thing called love. One day, one of the religious leaders, a Pharisee, said to Jesus, a Sadducee, I guess it was, he silenced the Pharisees, and then the Sadducee said this, "Teacher, which commandment is the greatest in Moses' teaching?" Jesus said unto him, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and most important commandment. And the second is like unto it, love your neighbor as you love yourself." Love. God's Son Jesus said all of Moses' teaching and all of the writings of the prophet, and now he could say, in all the purposes that I came from God the Father, was to show us love and to help us learn how to love. I like it in the book of Thessalonians, writing to one of the churches, it says this, "We always thank God for all of you as we remember you in our prayers. In the presence of God the Father, we have never forgotten that your faith is active and your love is working hard." Excuse me, I love the idea. Your faith is active, which means it's alive. And your love is working hard. And your confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ is enduring. Some of them same words that I just gave to you a few moments ago is what he's saying. Brothers and sisters, fellow believers, never forget this, because we know that God loves you and has chosen you. We know this because the good news we brought came to you not only with words, but it also came to you with power and with the power of the Holy Spirit. And it brought about certainty in your life. In the same way, you know what kind of people we were while we were with you and the good things we did for you. It was that love. It was that powerful love that Paul was demonstrating as a child of God that was reaching out to the lives of others. Got to take a little bit of a breath here. Sorry about that, but my throat was kind of shutting down on me a little bit. Been having a little trouble with some of that thing of sore throat and that, you know, build up. I don't know if it's sinus or what it is, but anyway, it's a part of life. But you know something, folks? God is sharing with us that he wants us to be a living, active person for him in whatever we do. Let me close with these words from the book of Philippians. My dear friends, you have always obeyed not only when I was with you, even more now that I am absent. In the same way, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. I like that word, continue to work out this salvation that is inside of you. With fear and trembling, it is God who produced in you the desire and action that pleases him. Do everything without complaining, that what can help us. Do everything without arguing with God and one another. Then you will be blameless and innocent. You will be God's children, without fault among those who are crooked and corrupt. And he's saying, you know, as the world gets worse, that there living Christian is going to show up even more. You will shine like stars among them in the world as you hold firmly to the word of life. And then he's saying, you know what? That'll bring me fulfillment in my life. You know, that's what God wants us to understand. As you and I do the work that God wants us to do, we'll have a sense of fulfillment. That's what I said about the last part of your life's purpose will be fulfilled. You'll be accomplished something on planet Earth for this one God. And that's important in your life and mine, folks. That's important for us to be a part of that. And that's one of the things that I enjoy even at 84, is whenever I'm used of God to be a comfort or a strength to somebody else, how that challenges my life to keep on keeping on as long as I can. And that's a challenge I want to give to your life, is to keep on keeping on. And in so doing, what you can do is you can become what the Bible says is a servant to all. And that's what he wants you to be. Who wants to be the greatest in the kingdom of God? He that's going to be the greatest in the kingdom of God, he says, is a servant to all. God bless you. Have a good week. Bye-bye.